to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from this cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. And they were coming down from the mountain. Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, have people been thinking about the question? Why, when we're supposed to be out in the middle of the desert with Jesus and supposed to be thinking about his passion and his cross, do we have this sneak preview of the resurrection, this transfiguration of Jesus on the top of Mount Tabor? Well, to help answer that question, I'm going to do something I don't usually do because everybody knows I'm a tennis player. Talk about tennis a lot. But I'm going to talk about golf. Golf. I've never played a real round of golf in my life. How many golf players do we have here? Yeah? Gary? Is Gary the golfer? Kevin the golfer. Okay, well. I had a great friend who was a 2 handicap. I watched a lot of golf with him. I learned a lot about the game. So the first story is about who many people think is the greatest, or at least the most exciting and thrilling and charismatic golfer of all time. Maybe not the greatest. The greatest golfer of all time was who? Well, it looks like we have a difference of opinion here. Jack Nicklaus. Maybe it would have been Tiger if he didn't get into so many car accidents. But Jack Nicklaus still holds the record for the greatest number of big major tournaments. But somebody said Arnold Palmer. Remember Arnie's Army? Arnie's Army. Probably the most charismatic, thrilling, exciting guy to watch golf. I remember when I was a kid. The reason I'm getting to Arnold Palmer is this. Arnold Palmer said, I'd love to be in trouble. If I hit a ball in the woods, I love the challenge. If I was putting a long putt to win a tournament, that's why I was alive. And he said, if I hit a ball into the woods, And I saw that I only had a 6-inch opening between two trees in order to hit it on the green. I would see that happen in my mind before I hit the ball. And so often when I hit the ball, it would happen for the second time, really. I would make happen in reality what had already happened in my mind. Positive visualization. Now, in a much deeper and more poignant level, we've got a story about another golfer named Colonel George Robert Hall. Could have probably been a great professional golfer in his own right, but he was called to be a pilot in the United States Air Force. He had a 4 handicap before he went to fight the war in Vietnam. One of his last and best rounds on one of the major golf courses was a 76. But he got shot down and captured, and he was one of the men who was held in what was called the Hanoi Hilton, prisoner of war camp in Vietnam, where unspeakable torture was levied on these brave men who bore up under years and years of torture and solitary confinement, like Colonel Hall. And he said that one of the things that kept him alive, in addition to God, of course, was that he played a round of golf in his mind in incredible detail every day of his captivity. One of the concessions his captors gave him was that they let him have a stick and they let him stand up and move around in his cell. And he would live this thing out right down to getting dressed with the particular clothes that he wanted to wear. He imaged the drive to the course. He had created a course in his mind out of a composite of the greatest courses that he ever played. And he would stand up there with this stick, and he would measure the green, and he would test the wind, and he would see the break. And he did this. And this is the way he spent his days. And it kept him sane, but it also kept him a great golfer. For when he was liberated after 7 years of this, after losing 100 pounds in captivity, 6 months later, he was invited to play in a pro-am event, I think in Texas, where he played with some professional. He was the amateur, of course. 6 months after captivity, still not having put on his body weight, guess what he shot? A 76. He made his 4 handicap. Mind over the matter. The strength of the human will when it's married to God's grace. Not only did it keep him alive, but he lived it in his mind. That was something he hung on to be on a real course, shooting a real round of golf, doing what God made him to do, something that he loved, something that was his emblem of freedom and joy. And this gets us to why Jesus gave Peter, James, and John the preview of the resurrection, and why the church gives us this preview of the resurrection as in the second Sunday of every Lent. Because we're in the middle of the desert, well into our Lenten journey, and we started out, I'm sure, gangbusters. We're going to pray this, we're going to give up that, we're going to do this in way of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And we might have slipped up. We might have said, oh, it's over, I've failed. Jesus says, don't give up the ship, don't throw in the towel. Let me pick you up and dust you off and go forward. Keep the faith, keep the vision in mind. Because Jesus says, at the end of Lent, if you get back on a horse and you remain faithful and you work the program with my grace, then you will rise to greater newness of life and holiness and be more like me when we rise together at Easter. We have to keep the prize. We have to keep our eyes on the prize. We have to have the vision and the goal there right in front of us, so real. Jesus wants us to see where we're going and to know that it's possible. All things are possible with God. if we keep the faith and keep running the good race and fighting the good fight. Take it into prayer, my brothers and sisters, and ask ourselves, won't it be wonderful? Not wouldn't it be wonderful, but won't it be wonderful? That's what Gestalt therapy tells us to do. Anybody remember Gestalt therapy back in the 60s and 70s? It was kind of pop psychology, but there was a lot of truth to it. Gestalt therapy was you convince yourself that you already are or already have achieved whatever your goal is. Like you had it once and you lost it. And studies show that you will do almost anything to get back what you've lost, what you've known and what's real to you. So let's envision ourselves, whatever it is that we've asked God to help us with. You know, won't it be wonderful when at Easter we're more patient people, more forgiving people, more loving people, people who sin less, people who gossip less, people who judge less, people who curse less, people who do whatever it is that we've asked God to help shed, and whatever it is we've asked Jesus to help us embrace. It's different for each one of us. But let's, in our prayer, say, won't it be wonderful? And isn't it already wonderful? I hope we're seeing some of us fruit already in our Lenten journeys when we become more the face of Christ to one another and we become more like God. Keep the faith. In each Lent, my brothers and sisters, is in miniature the journey of our lives. Because not only do you want to keep how holy you will be and how much more like Jesus will be when he rides with him at Easter, life is going to throw at us a lot of stumbling blocks and a lot of crosses and a lot of challenges. In each Lent, when we get stronger, God makes us stronger for the journey of life. And when we can get up after we've stumbled and keep going and make it all the way to whenever God calls us home, then that will be the big dying and rising with Christ, where we will see him and all God's elect transfigured forever in heaven, in that perfect place where there is no more struggle, no more captivity, no more crosses to bear, but just peace and harmony and unity and happiness. All of us in Christ, risen with him forever and ever. God love you.